And we desire that friendship, and help us, Lord, to cultivate and spend time with you. I ask you to bless this time of worship, that it will pour out our songs and our hearts and our voices and our minds in worship and praise to you. And bless us, Lord, as we hear your word, as we hear testimonies, as we hear a report, Lord, of what you're doing in real life pregnancy ministry. And I pray, Lord, that you'll bless Mark as he guides us in that, and Joel as he brings your word to us. And thank you, Lord, for the truth, and let us take hold of that. You are the way, the truth, and the life, and we worship you. In Jesus' name, amen. Sing the beautiful hymn, "To God Be the Glory." I couldn't keep this girl still if I wanted to on this one. So, Amy, you come on up and help me direct. "To God Be the Glory, Great Things He Has Done." Hymn number 56. Let's stand and worship the Lord together.
Thank you. Thank you, Amy, for leading us in worship. Yeah, I appreciate you leading us. Glad you're here this morning. All of you that are guests, the Lord has led you to worship with us today at First Baptist Church, our traditional worship. We're so glad you're here. Part of our time of worship on this cold January day. Take a moment or two, walk around, welcome your friends. Glad you're here today. Every year on the middle Sunday of January is Sanctity of Human Life Sunday. And I said that this morning in early worship. It's not just Sanctity of Human Life Sunday just for Baptists. It's for the body of Christ all over the world. So we think about the importance of life. And we have such a strong, as First Baptist Church, we have such a strong connection with Real Life Crisis Pregnancy Center of Marshall County, and have had that from the very, very beginning. That connection for 35 years. And so every year we always make sure that on this particular Sunday we recognize our connection with Real Life Crisis Pregnancy Center. Of course, Mark Sheffer, our very own, who's very heavily involved in that, will tell us about the baby bottles. They're out here as you walk out today. You'll grab one of those. We hope and pray that you will do that and help us with the great fundraiser that is the baby bottles. But Mark Sheffer, our very own, is going to come and lead us now as we think about Real Life Crisis Pregnancy.
Good morning, everybody. Thank you for having me back this year on Sanctity of Human Life Sunday, as we at Real Life Ministries kick off our annual fundraiser baby bottle campaign event for 2026. And I want to start by thanking Brother Joel and indeed our entire church family for your heart for this ministry, as well as your faithful financial support year after year. First Baptist, as Joel had said, has been a key partner to this ministry since its inception 35 years ago. And as you'll hear in a few minutes, actually helped give birth to this ministry through the vision of some of our members. 2025 was Real Life's 35th anniversary, which we recently celebrated with a fundraising banquet featuring Christian artist Rebecca St. James, who some of you know. I thought I would take a little different approach this year in speaking with you. Instead of focusing only on the accomplishments of Real Life in 2025, but they were significant, and I feel I need to share a few of those with you now. It included 4,846 client visits. We gave out 30,901 maternity and baby items. We presented the gospel 901 times. We performed 121 ultrasounds and taught 619 Bible and gospel classes. But in addition to this, I really this year want to focus and highlight the rich heritage of this ministry, specifically how it got started 35 years ago, focusing on the growth of the ministry and celebrating how God has used Real Life to save lives and reach the lost in our community with the gospel of Jesus Christ. I have a short video that we're going to show, and it can tell the story much, much better than I can. Pay particular attention to the first part of the video, is that we'll speak more about that in a minute.
Real Life Pregnancy Center began in the hearts of Elizabeth Mann and Neil Gunter in 1990. Elizabeth had a passion to protect the unborn and minister to women of all ages experiencing pregnancy-related needs. Neil's painful and tragic loss of his 16-month-old son to leukemia gave him a love for the unborn and the gospel. The late James Dobson of Focus on the Family was instrumental in challenging Neil to start a pregnancy center in our area. Our first center was located in Albertville, where Elizabeth served as director, and Neil was on the first board of directors. Since that time, Real Life has grown to two locations, the Resource Center in Albertville and the Medical Clinic in Guntersville. These two locations are one ministry where life is championed and the gospel is proclaimed in word and deed. We seek to imitate Jesus as we minister to people in times of emotional and physical crisis. All our services are free and confidential, including pregnancy testing and counseling, ultrasound, and free resources. We are a 501c3 organization, and all contributions to Real Life are tax deductible. One of the primary purposes of Real Life is to promote and protect life. The life of the unborn child is advocated by our counselors, while the life of the mother is always respected and valued. The most effective way of giving voice to the unborn is to open its wonders through ultrasound. Real Life has invested in state-of-the-art ultrasound operated by a certified sonographer located at our Guntersville Medical Clinic, overseen by an OBGYN medical director. Many of our clients have changed their mind on abortion after viewing their baby and hearing the heartbeat. Ultrasound is truly a window to the womb. We also purpose at Real Life to provide for the physical and emotional needs of our clients. This is accomplished through a variety of programs offered at both centers. Parenting, abstinence education, adoption, sexual abuse healing, abortion recovery are some of the programs offered. Bible studies and these programs are opportunities for our clients to earn large new items such as car seats, pack-and-plays, cribs, and high chairs. Our baby boutique, located at the Albertville Resource Center, is filled with diapers, formula, clothing for both mother and child, and other needed baby items. Local businesses, churches, and individuals provide both new and gently used maternity and baby items for our moms and their little ones. What a great opportunity to give a cup of water in Jesus' name while serving the needs of our clients. Our baby bottle campaign is our major fundraiser, and 32 churches are now participating. Proceeds from the baby bottle campaign are used to purchase items for the baby boutique. Choose Life Car Tags revenue is also used for the needs of the baby boutique. Every Choose Life adoption tag purchased for $50 in Marshall County, $41.25 will be given to Real Life Pregnancy Center. As our growth has continued, God is bringing the nations to Real Life. The Lord has provided Spanish and Haitian Creole speaking counselors. These counselors are sharing the gospel and ministering to our clients in their own native language and helping them adjust to the American culture. We welcome fathers to participate in the parenting process with the skills necessary to be an active and effective parent. Research shows that women consider the father of the baby to be the most influential party in her abortion decision. Even from birth, children who have involved fathers are more likely to be emotionally secure and have better social connections. Abortion has devastating effects on those it touches. Statistics show that 1 in 4 women in America have had an abortion. Real Life's abortion recovery classes help men and women heal from past abortions, redeeming and restoring them with the message of grace and forgiveness. Childhood sexual abuse is prevalent among our clients. Approximately 60% of our moms have had sexual abuse in their past. This abuse can be paralyzing for the victims and dealing with relationships and everyday life. Our classes are designed to let our moms know they are not alone and that their voice is important in healing from their hurt and shame. At Real Life, Jesus is restoring and rebuilding lives. We are thankful for Mrs. Z's 16 years of abstinence education in the Marshall County Schools. Her program was a springboard to a new at-risk program, Decisions, Choices, and Options. Marriage, abstinence education, adoption, respect, boundaries, and life choices are all part of this valuable program.
Real Life exists because of and for the sake of the gospel. Every pregnancy test that's administered, every ultrasound that's performed, every precious young mother that's counseled, every father that is mentored, every post-abortive couple that is counseled, every resource that's given, it's all for the gospel's sake. Our desire is not only that a baby and a mother be cared for in this life, but that a baby, a mother, a father, men and women would all come to know Jesus for all eternity.
Children are a gift from the Lord. They are a reward from Him.
So you probably noticed that the video started with the story of Neil and Barbara Gunner, who most of you know as their prominent leaders in our church. And then it spoke of Elizabeth Mann, a former member of our church who became the first center director at Real Life in 1990. In talking with Neil about using his and Barbara's story this morning, he said something that really touched me. He said that God uses everything we endure, even the deep pain of losing a child, for His glory. Neil went on to say that one of the clearest examples of this is how God brought Real Life Pregnancy Center to Marshall County 35 years ago. Just imagine all the babies that have been saved and lives changed for eternity that came out of this unimaginable loss that Neil and Barbara endured with the loss of their precious son, Brent. And I was thanking Neil and Barbara early in the earlier service for allowing me to use that story and to tell that story to his church family. A lot of you know it already. As Real Life continues to build on this rich heritage of saving lives, reaching the lost, and meeting the needs of our community, I know that First Baptist family will continue to play a key role in this ministry. As I mentioned earlier today is the kickoff of our largest annual fundraiser, the Baby Bottle Campaign. $61,000 was raised last year in 2025 through this campaign. And I'll assure you, First Baptist was a big part of that. So let's do it again. Let's raise even more in 2026. As Pastor Joel said, there's a good supply of these bottles at the back, at the side entrance. So when you leave, pick one up, take it home, fill it with coins, large bills, or as I say every year, a generous check. And many of you do that, by the way, and I praise God for that. But bring it back over the next few weeks. I'll assure you every dollar goes toward saving lives and serving our community in the name of Jesus Christ. Thank you for having me today, and God bless.
Amen. We're going to sing our offertory song at this point, hymn number 139. So we'll sing all three stanzas. When we reach the last stanza, we'll all stand together and finish out and bring glory to the Lord. So great is thy faithfulness.
This morning, because we have tasted your goodness, Lord. You are the bread of life, Lord, that feeds us and sustains us. Lord, you are the light of the world that shines through us. And Lord, you are the good shepherd that takes care of us and provides for us. Lord, we are thankful this morning that, Lord, we can be called the children of God, that you live in us and we live in you. So this morning we have much to be thankful for. Lord, we praise you and just honor your holy name. Lord, as we take up an offering this morning, we just pray that you multiply it and bless it, Lord, to further your kingdom and to know you and make you known. And we pray and ask these things in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Greatness of God. God is great and he is worthy of all praise. We're going to sing about that. This is not a performance. This is a time of worship. So you've heard this song many times. So join us and sing along and let's praise God for how great he is.
Spirit, Son, the Lion and the Lamb.
Thank you so much, choir. Ken. Yeah, let's think about how great our God is on Sanctity of Human Life Sunday. That is a fabulous way to lead us into the Word. If you're new to us, we started at the beginning of the year a little study on some of the minor prophets of the Old Covenant. And so we are in the book of Amos. Amos is not the first biblically, but Amos was the first chronologically. Amos was the first of the minor prophets that God used to speak to His people to try to warn them where they were headed. And by His grace, I want to lead you away from where you're headed. And so Amos was the first to proclaim these truths. Now last Sunday we skipped over to chapter 2 because I knew that today on Sanctity of Human Life Sunday, we would need to be in chapter 1. So we're back to chapter 1 today. Last week, Amos condemned both the southern kingdom of Judah and the northern kingdom of Israel for many terrible, sinful, not only behaviors they were committing, but also the sinful attitudes that they had. The abuse of power from the wealthy to the poor. All right, so we need to understand something. God gave His people wealth for a reason, for a purpose. And God still to this day, thousands of years after the Old Covenant, still gives His people wealth for a reason, for a purpose. God didn't give His people wealth so that they could drive new cars and live in fancy houses and then abandon the poor. He didn't give them wealth so that they could have good stuff. That was not the point. God gave His people in the Old Covenant wealth so that they could then use that wealth to shine the light to a dark, dying world. And what they did was they took this wealth and instead of using it to shine the light that God was desperately wanting them to do, instead, they not only kept that wealth for their own personal pleasure, but then they were using it to abandon the poor, to abuse their power and their wealth to the poor. Illicit sexual activity, sexual abuse, I mean, out of control sexual abuse among God's people. Then their lack of thankfulness. Their lack of thankfulness for all that God had done. and all that God had given to them, turned their hearts away from God and instead turned their hearts toward sin. It always does, church. Man, if you've got ears to hear, hear this. When we lose our thankfulness to God the Father for who He is and for what He's done and all that He has given to us in the gospel, which is everything, when we lose our thankfulness, we employ instead an entitlement mentality. And once we employ this entitlement mentality, wait now, I'm pretty good. God owes me. Once we start employing that entitlement mentality, then it always, 100% of the time, are you listening to me, church? It always leads to sin every single time. It's happened in the Old Testament, in the Old Covenant. It happens in the New Testament. It happens then 2,000 years after the New Covenant, in the New Covenant. It always leads to sin. There's no other route. I wish that I could tell you that not some of us can. No. Once you start employing that lack of thankfulness and grace, one of the keys in the Christian life, and instead you start employing an entitlement mentality, it always leads to sin. That's exactly what was happening to God's people 3,000 years ago. So we've got out of control sinfulness, entitlement mentality, God, you owe us, not the other way around, and then this forgetfulness of all that God had done and all that God had given them over the years. So it was time for God's people to hear a word. And it was a time for them to hear a word, and Amos was the mouthpiece that spoke that word. Starting in Amos chapter 1, starting in verse 2, I'm not going to read the whole passage of Scripture. I'm just going to read select verses from this passage, but you'll see the pattern. Verse 2, this is what Amos saw and heard. The Lord's voice will roar from Zion and thunder from Jerusalem. The lush pastures of the shepherds will dry up and the grass on Mount Carmel will wither and die. Verse 3, this is what the Lord says. The people of Damascus have sinned again and again, and I will not let them go unpunished. Sin must be dealt with, that is. They beat down my people in Gilead as grain is threshed with iron sledges. Verse 6, this is what the Lord says. The people of Gaza have sinned again and again, and I will not let them go unpunished. They sent whole villages into exile, selling them as slaves to Edom. Verse 9, this is what the Lord says. The people of Tyre have sinned again and again, and I will not let them go unpunished. They broke their treaty of family, brotherhood with Israel. They sold whole villages as slaves to Edom. Verse 11, this is what the Lord says. The people of Edom have sinned again and again, and I will not let them go unpunished. They chased down their relatives, the Israelites, their own family, with swords, showing no mercy. Verse 13, this is what the Lord says. The people of Ammon have sinned again and again, and I will not let them go unpunished. When they attacked Gilead to extend their borders, they ripped open pregnant women with their swords. Chapter 2, verse 1, this is what the Lord says. The people of Moab have sinned again and again, and I will not let them go unpunished. They desecrated the bones of Edom's king, burying and burning them to ashes. So Amos begins these oracles with judgments against the nations who are geographically close to Israel. These nations were guilty of heinous, terrible sinfulness. And this sin that they were guilty of so violated the moral law of God that God had no other choice. They earned God's wrath. I said this morning in the early worship, it just absolutely just is beyond me how sinful we human beings really are. We hear all over America, all over, you'll hear all of these people in the American culture, and they talk about God is not just. Why is God not fair? Are you kidding me? As if somehow we as human beings are so good and so righteous that we deserve nothing but God's grace. We are sinners who have deserved and earned nothing but hell. God, in His long suffering and in His grace, continues to extend that grace over. And no, this is what happened in the Old Testament. It's what happened in the New Covenant. Still happening to this day. Trust me, they violated God so bad they deserved and earned everything that they received. Several nations were guilty of the same types of sins. For example, the Philistines, the residents of Tyre, they both, Amos says, they both delivered whole villages of slaves to Edom. The Philistines of Gaza. Now, when we say Gaza, this is 3,000 years ago, Gaza. We're not talking about the Gaza that you hear about on Fox News today, all right? Totally different situation. The Philistines of Gaza, Ashdod, Ashkelon, and Ekron lived west of Judah near the Mediterranean Sea, and they were always ancient enemies of Israel. Instead of Israel shining the light, they were enemies. Constant anger and fighting. Tyre was situated immediately west of the territory in the northern kingdom of Israel, and Tyre would eventually become what we know of in the New Testament as Galilee. They took whole villages as slaves of Edom. And so that refers to these foreigners invading the promised land and kidnapping Israelites. Sounds real familiar, doesn't it? Kidnapping Israelites and then taking them as slaves. I smile, I laugh, I get tickled at modern day journalists. They're not journalists, they're political hacks, but that's a whole other sermon for a whole other time. But I get tickled at them when we have this issue over Jerusalem and Palestine or whatever, all the fighting is, and these quote unquote journalists, they'll say things like, and they think they're so deep and they're so, they think that they're saying something really, really, really powerful and deep and in thought. And they'll say things like this. They'll say, you know, we need to understand that this issue that they're dealing with over now in the Middle East, we've been dealing with this for 50, 75 years. And I smile. Go, you fool, you have no idea what you're talking about. We've been dealing with this for 3,500 years. These fights have been going, you're reading about them right now in Amos chapter 1. These fights have been going on for thousands and thousands of years. Keith Matheson writes, judgment of these cities and people, said Amos, would be the devouring of their strongholds and fire on their walls, allusions to the siege and conquest of cities. In fact, Amos's words came true for Philistia about 20 years after he preached this oracle, when Tiglath-Pileser III of Assyria conquered the region in 734 BC. King Hezekiah of Judah pushed back the armies of Gaza after that. As for Tyre, the city suffered repeated invasions. Thousands of its residents were carried into slavery near the end of the 4th century when Alexander the Great invaded. So Amos then condemned the Ammonites. What does he say? They were ripping open pregnant women with their swords just so that they could extend their border. So in order to expand their wealth, another sermon for a whole nother time is, you go all the way back to the sin in the Old Covenant, to the New Covenant, to today. Y'all, no matter if we're talking about abortion, it doesn't matter what sin we're talking about. Never forget what I just am about to say. It's always about money and politics. It was then. So to expand their borders, to expand their economic power, to expand their political power, the Ammonites, they slaughtered Gilead's residents, even the pregnant women and their unborn children. Now that's awful. And that's terrible enough, but you need to understand that what makes it even worse, and Amos points this out, what makes it even worse, y'all, is that they were family. These are people who are related through Lot, Abraham's nephew. They were family for the love. One of my favorites, John Piper. He is such a champion for pro-life. He writes how little things have changed after nearly 3,000 years. He's right. How little things have changed after nearly 3,000 years. Today, abortionists help millions of pregnant women and their relatives slaughter their unborn children, mostly for convenience, or to not burden the family finances or otherwise make it harder to enjoy a certain lifestyle. Politicians court the donations and votes of the pro-abortion crowd to maintain their power, filling their campaign coffers with blood money. Such acts manifest and invite the wrath of God. Yes, that's hard to hear. That's hard to hear, but it's true. For convenience sake, don't want to mess up my family finances or the finances. I don't have the money to do this. And even harder to hear, because I don't want it to affect my fun lifestyle. That's hard to hear. He goes on, unlike the ancient Ammonites, the pro-abortion people in the modern West do not advocate killing pregnant women, although that's coming. Yes, you better believe that it is. Still, because pro-abortion people advocate murdering unborn people made in God's image, they are guilty of great evil and ask for the end of their nation, for the Lord will not abide countries who tolerate such evil. Yes, that's so true. One of our goals, not our main goal, not our primary goal, our primary goal is always the same. It never has changed. It, hopefully, prayerfully, it never will change. Our primary goal as the body of Christ at First Baptist Church Gunnersville and as individuals is always the same. Our primary goal is always worship, adoration, and praise of God Almighty in everything we are and everything we do. And then we have goals up under that primary goal: evangelism, discipleship, missions, fellowship, all of those other things. And one of our goals as God's family should always be to work to end the scourge of abortion on demand. And we are working toward that, and we've seen that over the past several years, even here in the American culture. We should always be for life, no matter how that life comes into this world. We should always be for that which God Himself creates. So today we're going to do something a little bit different. We're not going to have a traditional invitation like we normally do. Normally here at First Baptist Church, we finish the sermon and we have an invitation, and I'll say, if you don't know Christ as your Savior, Lord, have never repented of your sin, and you want to put your trust and faith in Jesus, I'll be right here to receive you and to pray with you. And that still extends. If you are here today and you've never trusted Christ as your Savior, Lord, and you want to do that today, well, as soon as we're done, you come find me. Or we'll have an opportunity for people to join the church during the invitation. And once again, if you want to join the church today, you come and find me when we're done. And we will make sure that we work out all of those details. Those are minor by any stretch. But today what we're going to do instead of having an invitation is we're just going to pray. And we did this in the early worship. And we're going to do it in this one. And so we're just going to spend a moment praying. And we're praying for life. I'll guide the prayer and you just kind of follow along. So join me as we pray. Let's just take a moment to pray. Take a moment just to pray, thanking God for life that He has given to us. Physical life, spiritual life. Everything is a gift. Father, your word teaches us that you are the creator. It didn't just happen with a big bang that happened billions of years ago. No, you've created it all. Everything that is. And that includes physical life. I am here today breathing, living, because you gave me life. But you are also the creator of spiritual life. Through your Son Jesus, through the gospel, we repent of our sin and we put our trust and our faith in you, and then all of a sudden you breathe into us not just physical birth, but spiritual birth, and we are born again. We thank you for that life. And now, as a part of that life, you've called us to shine that light of life to a dark world. So we pray that we'll do exactly that which you've called us to do. Take just a few moments and pray for women all over Marshall County right now who are trying to make decisions on what to do with their pregnancy. Father, I'm thankful for Real Life Crisis Pregnancy Center of Marshall County. And over 35 years, thousands upon thousands of mothers, fathers that have come to faith in Jesus. Thank you, Father, for the thousands of babies that have been saved through this great ministry. And I picture right now, Father, someone, a lady in Marshall County right now sitting at a breakfast table drinking a cup of coffee, with tears coming down her eyes, what am I going to do? And our prayer is, Father, that you, through your power, will lead them to this ministry that will offer them hope. Not only, Father, do we pray for these women, we pray for men as well. That through this experience of their life, that they'll hear the gospel. They'll come to faith in Jesus. And life will be turned around. And they'll see just how precious life really is. Thank you, Father, for the gift of life that you give to us in Jesus. May we treat it as the gift that it is. And may we shine the light of the gospel, Father, always in a dark, lonely, desperate world. Because the light of the gospel is the only hope. We want to do more, Father, than just save physical life. We want those lives to know the good news of the gospel. So give us that truth, Father. In Jesus we pray. Amen. Thank you for doing that today, church. All right, what is our winter Bible study on Wednesday nights? Mike Reeves was the first winter Bible study leader, and it was fabulous. Last Wednesday night, we had a good crowd in here. Candy Patterson was our teacher, and y'all, Candy did a phenomenal job. It wasn't good. It was absolutely fabulous. I've embarrassed her enough by talking about how great she did. She, would you please hush? So this week we've got Sherry Manley, and Sherry's already saying, don't be telling them I'm going to do a great job. So Sherry's going to do a terrible job, but come on in here anyway and be here at 6 o'clock. Sherry will do a great job. 6 o'clock, if you're not at the women's Bible study or the youth or our children or in all the many other places that we have on Wednesday nights, come in here and be a part of that, because it is absolutely fabulous to hear other teachers and other ways of teaching the Word, and it's great, and Sherry will do a great job this coming Wednesday night. All right. And then we've got baby bottles. So once again, Mark brought those to your attention. This is one of our great fundraisers. They're right out there. As you walk out the door, grab one, fill it up, checks, cash, coins, whatever you want to fill it up with. We'll have about 3 or 4 weeks that we'll have these, and you just bring them back in, and then Real Life Crisis Pregnancy Center will always send somebody to pick them up. And so grab one of these on your way out. All right, Ken, got anything? All right, be in prayer for Warren and Heather and 125 of our students, and our chaperones and counselors are in Pigeon Forge, and they are at Strength to Stand, and today will be a great day for them. So be prayer for them, and then tomorrow when they wake up and have one more session, and then they travel back home. So be in prayer for Warren and Heather and all of our students and chaperones as they are in Pigeon Forge today. All right, let's all stand and sing what?
How great is our God.
How great is our God, and all